Hi, this is Dominic Pace, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great pull, kid.
You found something.
You found the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
What a piece of junk.
I'm your host, Greg McLaughlin.
He's as clumsy as he is stupid.
Join me as we discuss Star Wars trading cards and card collecting.
We need a statement, not a manifesto.
We'll talk about sets from the original vintage.
No, the one I'm pointing to.
All the way to current releases.
This?
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Commence primary ignition.
Welcome back, or if this is your first episode, welcome aboard. My name is Greg McLaughlin, and this is the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Good show for you tonight, as my guest is Kareem Darcy of Order 416. This would have been a part of a larger multi-guest episode, but as sort of things developed, these segments kind of became great enough that they could stand along on their own as individual episodes. And I thought, just given the topics that we were talking about tonight, I thought it really was good that it had its own breath. And I was pretty excited to put this together, and I was very happy to get this going tonight. I had met these guys from Order 416 at Star Wars Celebration, and if you have listened to the podcast over the year, this was back in Episode 7, my Celebration episode. Kareem, Reno, and Daniel of Order 416 were some of the first people I got a chance to talk to at Celebration, and I had kind of interacted with them on Instagram prior to that, and I was really kind of excited to kind of get a chance to meet them. Like I said, I talked about this a little bit in a previous episode, but, you know, they were so inviting. They had pushed the table back from their booth and to kind of let people inside, and, you know, they had a video going on there. So it was kind of like a real inviting space, and I really just kind of dug the vibe. And I was always wanting to get a chance to talk a little more to him, because when you're at a convention or at a con, it's not really the place for an in-depth interview. You're kind of in the moment, trying to get some reaction, trying to get some, you know, the who, what, when, where, how. But to have like a kind of an in-depth conversation, it just wasn't a time or place. But so you kind of like, as you're following each other and you're kind of seeing each other's progress through the year, I was pretty excited to kind of get a chance to see Kareem's cosplay, because he kind of does both male and female, and he does a range of characters. One of the things I was kind of excited to talk to him about is he was on a panel at New York Comic Con for Salaam fandom, or Muslim fandom, and I was real interested to get a chance to talk with him about that. So I was happy that we had a chance to set this up and kind of get into it, and I learned a ton of stuff. And you know, just to be honest, any cosplayer, there's so much work that goes on into it, and it's just kind of exciting because to get a chance to talk to these folks, because, you know, there's makeup, there's the costume, there's all the work. And, you know, we know, probably the more the face of the Star Wars cosplayer are the 501st, or the Rebel Legion, or the Mandalorian Mercs, where, you know, these are officially, you know, licensed by Lucasfilm, like the looks. You have to get them approved, your costume approved, before you become a member of it. But there's a lot of cosplay groups out there, and there's a lot of people who just want to, you know, they're excited to kind of go to, whether it's as much as they can to Galaxy's Edge, or they're going to their local con. You know, they want to dress up as their favorite character from Star Wars, and, you know, it's something to wear. You know, I think once you kind of get in that outfit, you kind of, you know, you really kind of take on that character. So there's always a lot of work going into it, and I'm very, very, you know, amazed, impressed, and just, you know, very envious of these folks that get to go, and, you know, they get to be Star Wars characters, and it's always something to kind of get to meet them, get your picture taken with them. But it's something else if you are, you know, going and you're kind of maybe expanding the definition of, you know, who can be what. And one thing I kind of like about, you know, Star Wars fandom is it's very inclusive. You know, no matter what you're into, no matter what you really like or don't like, there's space for everybody. And as you can see by all the podcasts that are out there, it's just one of those things where I think it's so amazing that, like, you could have a podcast like I can about trading cards, Star Wars cards. You know, if you listen to a couple episodes, there was a podcast about the Marvel card collectors folks, podcasts that are just dedicated to the Mandalorian. And I saw something on Facebook, I think it was a week or two ago, where somebody had posted all the dedicated Mandalorian shows that are out there, and it's a huge number. So, you know, whether you're finding a general Star Wars show, like, say, you know, like Coffee with Kenobi or the Cantina Cast or the Star Wars Report, Full of Sith, what have you, Rebel Force Radio. But there's also a lot of great sub-podcasts out there. And I think the same thing is with these groups. And I remember being at Celebration and all the little fan groups out there, you know, from different states, or they're doing this or that. And it was really, really cool. And so to get a chance to talk to folks and kind of find out not only their passions, but, you know, their beliefs, and also, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, and to kind of bring light to certain things, and just to kind of make sure that, you know, we as a fandom, we're open to, you know, different ideas, different cultures, different aspects, different likes, different, you know, like, you know, your top five or your top 10, and, you know, no one's, you know, you don't have to be right or wrong about it. It's just like, it's what you're into. It's what you believe, and it's what you're passionate about. And those are the kind of things that I think are great when they bring to light, or when they are the time, like especially at these major cons or the little cons where they have time to have these panels. You know, it's great that we have that, and we should really embrace it. So, like I said, very excited to get a chance to talk to Kareem tonight. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we get started, and I know you've been seeing me post a bunch of stuff from the Black Friday shopping. Black Friday simply just proved to be an excuse to do some shopping and to blow a little money. And, you know, in some cases, you know, whether you're buying, like, some people would buy like a TV or a tablet or a computer or something like that, or maybe a luggage set that you've had your eye on. I kind of decided I was thinking about buying some hobby boxes, because I know that there were some places that had some really good deals, but I ended up spending most of my time on eBay. And whether it was a sticker set for the 1977 Topps Series 3, I posted a few of that on there. I snagged a really nice Star Wars Masterwork. As we know, that is the current set that's out, Star Wars Masterwork. There was a great Christopher Sean autograph on his Kazuto Ziona card, which I got at a pretty decent deal, but it was really great. So on one thing, I did want a Christopher Sean autograph, and it was on one of the 2019 Masterwork cards. And if you haven't seen that, definitely check out the Instagram page, or if you're in one of the Facebook groups, or go online to Topps, or, you know, Dave and Adams, or Blowout, and check out some of the cards there. They're really, really interesting. They are more of a higher-end set, but they're a little thicker. They're like, I think they're 0.72 thickness, but they're very nice cards. Different parallels, different autographs. And I think right now, although the hobby box, the big one is like, I think $180 retail, I think you're still finding them around $160. And maybe before we get into the main Christmas holiday, you might find it at a better deal even. And if you break that big box down into four, I think there's four mini boxes for about $40 or $50. So if you have your eye on one, because each one of those, I think, have a hit, as it were, you might be able to get it at a pretty decent deal. Really coming up next week, of course, you know, next week really needs no introduction, because we have Rise of Skywalker, but we also have the Series 1 cards that will come out at the same time. I've got my eye on a hobby box, and I will probably be in my local card store on day one after I have seen the movie to pick up a box, and hopefully I'll get a chance to break that, maybe do a live break, or definitely do one on Instagram and have it posted later, probably see if I can post it to the Facebook page as well. So that's going to kind of take us to the end of the year. I know we only have a couple of shows left. I'm trying to line up my last guest show. I might do one more if I can slip it in, but, you know, we're running out of year and getting ready for 2020, which I'm hoping is going to be a little bigger year for the podcast and the Instagram page. We just hit, I think, 1,000 followers on Instagram. And although, you know, you have different metrics, I think that's a nice marker, kind of shows that there's a bit of an audience out there for it, and it's really fun. The podcast, of course, is an extension of the Instagram page, but, you know, reaches different audiences. So some people may not be into Instagram. Some people are only on Twitter. Some people only on Facebook. Some people only listen to the podcast. So hopefully just kind of bring you more joy of collecting and more content creators, whether it's sketch card artists or collectors who like to post. I would like to talk to more of the action figure collectors. I want to talk to more cosplayers, or more people who have Star Wars passions. because to bring those stories about and to give those a little bit of light. So those are just some of the early goals. I know we'll probably talk about this a little more on a future episode as we're coming down to the end of 2019. But, you know, so far just been very excited to bring you this content this year. And I think we've brought some really good stories, got to talk to some really great people. So just very excited once again. So anyway, so I'll go ahead and get into my interview with Kareem, and then I will wrap it up at the end of it. And I really hope you enjoy it. The first thing I wanted to kind of talk with you, we talked briefly at Celebration, but I wanted to get a little deeper dive into Order 416 and kind of like how it kind of became and where it's at now.
All right. So Order 416 is a Toronto-based Star Wars fan club. It was founded by two members, Dan Johnson and Reno McMillan. They started it a few years before I joined. They had another member, Jimmy, and they'd been running their own, you know, cosplay group. They were just a group of friends who wanted to cosplay together and go out with their lightsabers and have fun at conventions. So that's how it started, very organically, as friends who would just help each other with their costumes and have fun at conventions. And, you know, they made a lot of friends along the way. And, you know, started getting a lot of momentum. So I met them at Hamilton Comic Con maybe 4 years ago, 2015. And they were running a Star Wars booth. They had a lot of merchandise on display and such. And I was just so impressed with their energy and enthusiasm. So we became friends right away. So we'd start hanging out, going to conventions together. And it built a lot of momentum. We had a little bit of a book club. We'd go, you know, movie screenings, dinners, just reasons to get together and celebrate Star Wars. And then 2017, I went to Celebration. I went alone. But before that, we had some other events. We did the Star Wars Marathon. Whenever a movie would come out, they'd release all of them. So the marathons are really, really big events. And then this year, April 2019, Star Wars Celebration, we threw a Hail Mary and it worked. We were so excited to have an opportunity to even apply to be a fan table, to have an exhibition at a fan table. And we've done those in smaller capacities, at smaller conventions, and we're looking forward to doing those again at other conventions. So about the origin, yeah, it's just a group of friends who got together.
Well, what I was curious about with Celebration, now when we got there, and I know we kind of covered that a little before, where, you know, you'd kind of rearrange the booth a little bit, but to kind of make it a little more inviting, which I thought was really cool. The other thing was is that now that section had a whole lot of different groups. I'm assuming then that Celebration kind of takes it easy on you guys to a certain extent as far as groups, as opposed to, like, say, a vendor or another entity that's going to be there at a con.
That's correct. We are not vendors. We are not selling anything. We are just exhibitors. And the fan table that we had, I think it's there. I don't know if there's too many of them. There's a lot of fan clubs. There's also podcasters. And so there's a few categories that fall outside of vendors. And because we're not selling anything, there's no, you know, licensing or, you know, taxing kind of thing happening. So they were very friendly and cooperative with us. Anything that we wanted to display, we would submit to them and get approval. So we can't just display whatever we want. We submitted all for approval. A guy, for example, had a yoga class that I was running and positive affirmations. So I got those approved. We also collaborated with our booth next door, like you mentioned, the Star Wars Underworld. They're a podcast. Right. And one of them is from Toronto, Dominic Jones. So we collaborated with them and merged our booths to have a little bit of a group podcast performance from another musician from Toronto. So all of his music, it's all approved for performance purposes at Celebration. But yeah, they give us a lot of leeway to just have fun and basically entertain the crowds at Celebration.
Did you find it? How did you find it as far as like the just kind of the setup and breakdown? You know, you're in Chicago. I'm assuming you had to probably pile the car with. Did you find it
Oh,
easy to kind of
God.
get in and out?
I'm not gonna lie to you. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. We got there 2 days early. You know, we made a 10-hour detour on our way in for it's a whole other story about how we went to the birthplace of Captain Kirk in it's called Riverside, Iowa.
Right.
So yeah, we drove from Toronto, which is like a it was a long drive to Chicago. Our SUV, thankfully Reno's got a good vehicle, jam-packed. I was sitting in a tiny little place in the back of the seat, covered in merchandise. I had like a Jabba sail barge and helmets and all kinds of Star Wars merch packed in the back. But you know, I'm a yoga teacher, so I was comfortable sitting crumpled up. It was fine. It was a heck of a road trip. We made it, and set up and tear down was a lot of work. But you know, we had early access, so we could get into the convention, you know, 8 a.m., and by 10 a.m. we'd be completely set up, and we'd have fun with it. We'd play some music. We'd put on Rush every morning and just, you know, go at a slow pace, set up. And I think because we didn't have anything too intricate or fragile, we were pretty cozy with it. So it was a lot of work, but we went at a comfortable pace, and you know, we had a lot of fun doing it. But even at the end, it was long days, and I would do my yoga classes at the end of the day, and it was really needed. Like we had mats. We put foam mats down on the floor and push the tables out of the way, as you mentioned. We wanted our booth to be inviting so people could come and walk into it rather than just stand at a table and we're behind the table. We wanted them to be sharing a space with us. So I'd be sitting on a chair and inflatable chairs, cushions, yoga mats, roll around on the floor, stretch my back, massage my feet. We did everything we could to stay comfortable for that 5 day convention.
What do you think of now you had done, how many shows have you done since?
Nothing since nothing as a group since April, but I've gone to New York and we've done a few cosplay, you know, shoots here and there, and I guess we did a little bit at Fan Expo, but unofficially, just as a group hangout.
Yeah, now that you did Celebration, is that something you're going to try to go back to as far as other cons or even another Hail Mary to a celebration?
Absolutely to both. Definitely Hail Mary to Celebration. Would love to strike gold twice and be there in Anaheim 2020. And yes, smaller conventions as well. Toronto Fan Expo and March Comic Con, some of the smaller cons. I think Dan had a booth at a flea market or a trade show somewhere. Dan is definitely a collector. He's into more of the collecting and vending. So he has a vendor booth occasionally. But yeah, smaller cons are now on our radar because we know if we can pull it off at a big con, you know,
Right.
for 5 days on a large scale, doing something small for 1 or 2 days on a small scale is no problem. So we're very confident now. That's one of the big benefits that came from Celebration is now we know how many supporters we have out there, how many friends there are to make. So it's really inspirational, and it's just the beginning. This is just the spark.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the I guess we could call it the celebration bump. That
Yeah.
definitely, puts you on some radar, but what were some of the things that you were surprised to see afterwards and in the months ahead after?
Yeah, definitely a bump. Like, I feel like we haven't come down yet. You know, with all the hype that keeps going around. Surprises. I mean, everything was a surprise because we had no idea what to expect. I think we were surprised with how successful we felt that like we made a lot of friends, which was the, you know, the main objective. To connect with different cosplayers and just different artists, podcasters, musicians, you name it. I made some
Right.
friends who I might do Star Wars themed yoga classes with. So the networking was a huge plus. I think, yeah, I don't know if I personally had any surprises because I had no expectations going in. I was surprised by how well we were received. And, you know, we got like interviewed by people like yourself. And, you know, Steve Sansweet came to our booth,
Oh, that's
Timothy
cool.
Zahn came to our booth. Vanessa Marshall. So we were surprised at what we were able to pull off, that all our dreams actually came true.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
changing gears a bit, I wanted to talk a little bit about the before we got into the New York City Comic Con bit, as far as when you're scheduling some of these cosplay shoots, can you talk a little about how you have to put them together and the time and effort involved?
Yeah, sure. So I'll tell you a story about one particular shoot, because they're all very organic. We're all just people getting together. So, you know, social media is a great help. We met a lot of photographers, and those are always important to have. You know, you can have the nicest costume in the world, but if you can't see it in the picture, it's not going to be seen. So shout outs to all the photographers. Those are cosplayers' best friends, you know, someone who can help pose and be in a nice backdrop and lighting. And now I look for those things when I'm at a convention. I'm like, okay, stand in front of that, or, you know, tilt to the left, just to make it look a little better. So,
right.
You know, social media helped me connect with one photographer. His name is Mike. I met him at YetiCon, which is a really fun convention up in Ontario. And we met there at a pool party. And then he posted one in Facebook, Instagram, just saying, hey, I'm free. Anyone want to shoot? And I was like, yes, me. Let's go. All right. So we just met up organically like that. And I was in a lot of pain that day. I had a leg issue. This is all a medical history of mine that I'll skip, but I was walking with a cane that day. Like, I couldn't walk. I was limping with a cane, but we'd already agreed to the shoot a couple of days prior. And I was like, I'm not missing this. I want to do this. So I put on my Ray costume with great difficulty, and I wanted to go to the beach and do some like jumping around, kind of mimicking that scene in the trailer where she does a backflip over the TIE interceptor.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to do some like running and jumping, but I could barely walk. So that's a unsuspected injury that happens, and you can't plan for those, but you got to work with what you got. So he was really accommodating. It took a little bit longer, but I got some really great pictures of me dressed up as Rey, you know, standing in front of the ocean, the lake, and, you know, some sand. So in terms of how they happen, it's just, We just talk and ask around. I want to do a really big Star Wars, sort of Clone Wars era shoot, because I've got a lot of friends who are doing Clone Wars, Asajj Ventress, and, you know, General Grievous. So sometimes it's character based, sometimes it's just whoever's available. Just, I say yes to everything.
Well, and I was going to say also that the range of characters and. The Aquaman came out of nowhere. I was not expecting Aquaman, but I love the range that you have, and you know, you seem to be so open to do just about anything. You can really see that enthusiasm come across.
Oh, thank you. That's great to hear. Yeah, I have to thank my friends for boosting me up. A lot of them happen. Like, I'll get my confidence from strange places sometimes. We did an Order 416 event in January. It happened to be my birthday, and we decided to do face painting for you know, whoever wanted it. We offered face painting for kids mostly, and because of that, so my friend of mine said she wanted to practice, so I said, okay, make me Ahsoka Tano just for fun. And I said, okay, if we've got face painters, I might as well get face painted and might as well do something I would never do, like Ahsoka Tano. And then she painted me orange and white, and I was like, oh my god, like, I'm Ahsoka all of a sudden. So it started off kind of as a joke. It's just an idea to do because we were practicing face painting. Then I'm like, oh my god, I could totally do this. And I really love Ahsoka, but I thought it was unreachable. I'm like, oh, well, she's a tiny orange girl. I'm a big hairy brown guy. It's not going to work. But lo and behold, you get the red colored shirt and face paint and boom. And then I was so confident. I'm like, I'm taking it to Celebration. And then I met Dave Filoni and Ashley Eckstein. They recognized my Ahsoka Mano. That's what I'm calling it, Ahsoka Mano. And then Dave Filoni saw me, and he's like, hey, it's the Mano. It's Ahsoka Mano. So he either recognized me or just someone told him. But it was so thrilling to do something so unexpected. Even myself, I was surprised that I could pull it off. And the reception was amazing. We had a huge group of Ahsoka Tanos. There were a few dudes. I think I saw one other guy. Cross-playing is Ahsoka, but yeah, I opened up my range, opened up my mind. I'm trying to be accepting and inclusive and be and accept everything. So yeah, I could be Ahsoka, Rey. I'd love to do a Maz Kanata. I think I'm actually going to start targeting female characters because they're often overlooked by myself. Like, I'm not going to speak for any other men, but
right.
at least limited myself. I thought, oh, well, I should only cosplay men, but why not? I'd love to do a Leia. Carrie Fisher's birthday is coming up on Monday, October 21st. Maybe I'll do some Leia. Who knows? I got the hair for it, so I'm open.
Well, and I think that's the case where it's like, you know, especially with like kind of the vibe you get from Celebration, when you get from the Star Wars community, it's like, you know, there's this love and there's this passion. And, you know, if nothing else, like, you know, especially, you know, now it's I think it's almost a little easier because popular culture, you know, pop culture is more the norm, where back, you know, growing up, it was a little more like you'd have to find either, you know, groups, or you had like, you know, fan clubs or things like that. And now where you can meet and greet, and, you know, who says, you know, there shouldn't be one interpretation of it. It's sort of like, and I think that's that is the whole message going, hey, if you enjoy doing this and you know, we also have a passion for it. I just think it makes it so much sense that you go, hey,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you're going to commit to it, go for it.
Absolutely. Oh, you said it. You said it. Love and passion, and it's mainstream now. It's gone from subculture, tiny little sci-fi subculture, to mainstream pop culture, like you said. And you know what else is popular? Diversity is popular.
Exactly.
So, you know, like we're in the mainstream, and the mainstream of people is colorful. So I'm thrilled to be at the forefront right now, where I can be represented and also represent others. So it's really,
it's awesome. And I think it also is a great segue into New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Just following the channel, take us through that journey. This was some amazing stuff.
Okay. So I love New York Comic Con. I've been going 3 years in a row now, just as a fan. The last 2 years I went as a fan, and I checked out a lot of panels. When I go to conventions, I love the panels. I love so many things. I love the cosplayers, the people. Panels are something I really try to sit in. For many reasons, I meet people and learn about different topics, but also, going to be honest, to sit down, relax my feet, charge my phone, have a snack. There are so many good reasons to go to panels. So I go to a lot of panels. And I always look for those, you know, fringe surprise panels, something supporting, you know, a panel about women of color or Asians in space or accommodating people with, you know, different physical abilities. So the world is really accommodating and inclusive in the places that I've experienced. And one panel I found a few years ago was called Salam Fandom. So Salam is the Arabic word for peace. That's a greeting used by Muslims. So we say Salam Alaikum, means peace be with you. You could also say it means may the force be with you. And so Salam Fandom was a group that I was really attracted to because they were celebrating Muslim artists, Muslim fans, Muslim traditions, elements of Islamic culture that exist in pop culture. So showing how much is already out there and being sort of a beacon to call different Muslim artists and fans into a collective. So this year I was really lucky that they invited me to be a part of the panel. Oh, wow. I've been very active on social media, celebrating my faith and my fandom and the intersection. Because for me, Star Wars is very spiritual. My Sufi Muslim faith is very spiritual. So there's a lot of crossover. The way Yoda talks about the Force is the way I feel about God. Like, it's, you know, it's an ever-present force. It's a whole other topic. So I won't go into that too much. But needless to say, is I was interested in them, they were interested in me. So the founder and moderator of the panel is Dr. Shamika Mitchell. She's a professor at Sunny Rockland University. And she collaborated with different Muslim artists for this panel. There was another cosplayer named Maliha. She organizes different hijabi cosplays. So they're called the Hijab Heroes. The hijab is the scarf that a lot of women choose to wear. So they incorporate their hijabs into the cosplays, which looks amazing. So look up Hijab Heroes. There was another artist on board named Sarah. And Sarah is big time. She draws Star Wars characters. She draws all kinds of characters, her own comics as well. But she was featured in the Women of the Galaxy book. So big time right there. Also joining us was Omar, an author, who has a comic called Zindan, which is amazing aesthetic set in sort of the Middle East. He also has a comic called The Incapable Trump. And I'll just segue into his a little bit. He talks a lot about the need for harmony, and he'll call people out on their ignorance. You know, it's pretty easy to do that with Trump. But he doesn't say that we should attack Trump or that he's bad and he's wrong and we should slander him. He still says the only way to bring him down is with kindness and to be the bridge and to react with kindness and compassion. Just as we can't change the world by just tearing down the old one. We've got to build a better one right here, right now. So I'm a really big fan of Omar's work. Check out The Incapable Trump. That's a really good comic. Good message. And the last two panelists were Farah, who is a supermodel and a UN ambassador, and also Aya, who's a writer for the Mammoth Free Press based in the Middle East. So top-notch panelists. I don't know what they wanted me there for. They have such good, such high-caliber people, but they wanted one more cosplayer, so they called me out. I hopped on a bus from Toronto 12 hours later. I made it to New York on time, so I was really, really honored to be in that group as a panelist this time rather than just cheering from the sides. So,
oh man,
it felt like a really big part of my personal journey there.
How did the panel go?
Oh, wow. It was so well attended. It was really successful, really well received. We had about 200 people maybe standing up against the walls. It was really well attended. We did debrief afterwards. We did hope to get more interaction time, to have it more talking with the audience. We only had about 10 minutes of interaction, but you know, we're always going to want more. So an hour went by really quickly. I learned a lot from the other panelists. So a lot of smiles, a swelling of pride. Some of the feedback we got was just so welcoming. People of color, allies to people of color, allies to Muslims were all saying, you know, it's good to see this space. We never thought that we'd ever see a space like this. You know, people older than me were saying, you know, growing up, they would never have imagined that would be a panel celebrating elements of Islam. So it was such a triumph just to exist. So all around success, and there's more coming, inshallah.
Excellent. I also wanted to make note, in case people haven't seen the Instagram page, your choice of cosplay for the panel, I thought was appropriate on many levels. But I just to talk a couple of minutes about that, because that's also a fascinating story. I don't gets out there, but doesn't.
Yes. So I have a lot of choices that I wanted to wear. I wore two. I wore my Kamala Khan, which I'll talk about in a second. But what I wore on top of Kamala Khan was my Bodhi Rook flight suit. So Bodhi Rook, what a hero, you know, maybe one of the first rebels to get it going. First Muslim actor on a main role in a Star Wars movie. Riz Ahmed is such a champion for representation, for diversity, for inclusion. It's sometimes a little bit frustrating to see how little representation Riz Ahmed gets.
Right.
His name is not on the DVD or the Blu-ray of Rogue One. It's really alarming. Go ahead, go look at a DVD or Blu-ray of Rogue One. His name is not on it. There's a lot of posters and a lot of merchandise that do not feature Bodhi Rook. It's strange. Even the big poster at Celebration that had characters like Thrawn and Kanan who've never been on screen, they still didn't have Bodhi Rook. So I don't know what it is, man, but Bodhi Rook doesn't get too much love. So I was like, yo, I'm in New York City. I'm doing Bodhi Rook. This is Riz Ahmed streets.
And that's insane, because he's the pilot.
he's the pilot. Right? He got things going, man. He brought the message.
Exactly. No, I thought that was, one, it just looked, you know, just from the shots I saw of it, it looked incredible. But two, I thought, so great. And, you know, he did such a great job in Rogue One. And I know that there was some issues that he was having, but it's something that I think it's important for fans to know. And you know, Rogue One in general, what a great, you know, you really want to see more inclusion, more diversity in Star Wars. As the fan base increases, you know, there's so many of us. One more cosplay at New York Comic Con that I really liked was the Ms. Marvel. I know this is a Star Wars podcast, but you know, I've read a little bit of her character and the book, and it's really well done, and what a great character. But I really liked the take on that, and also the shot of the meetup, which I thought was really cool.
Oh yeah, I really hope to get more pictures from that meetup, because we took a lot, and there was a really, really large group. There must have been like 40 to 60 Kamala Khan cosplayers celebrating the 5th anniversary of Miss Marvel, while they launched the playable character in the Avengers video game, something like that. So they were celebrating the launch of her playable character, her 5th anniversary, and they had an interview with the creators and voice actors and motion capture actors. And they were kind enough to say, hey, we've got all this Kamala Khan energy on stage, bring out some cosplayers. So immediately after the Salam fandom panel, which ended at 1 o'clock, I literally unzipped Bodhi Rook, put on my mask, and we all marched over. And so we collected cosplayers from Salam fandom, you know, being a Muslim collective, and Kamala Khan being a Muslim character. They had, you know, we were a magnet for that crowd. And then we all walked over to the stage, and yeah, it was so much fun. So Farah from our group, Salam fandom, she was already in a Kamala Khan like dress that was designed in Paris. Malia did the sort of more armored version of Kamala Khan. And, you know, her being a Pakistani girl living in New Jersey is a really normal thing. Like, there are Muslim women all over the world. And so it's a really normal character. It's still groundbreaking because it's the first time. I don't think it'll be the last time, nor should it. And I think one thing we appreciate about her character is that she doesn't identify as a Muslim and then Kamala. She's just a girl who happens to be Muslim.
Right.
Which is how you want to know. I think we should normalize it rather than say, okay, she's Muslim, and now let's look at the stereotypes that we can apply to her. So she must have strict parents, and she must have a hijab, and she, you know, must be forced into marriage. Instead of, we can avoid those stereotypes and just present her as a normal character, a normal person who goes to school and has the normal family life and is the her Islamic aspect of her identity is just secondary, so we can normalize it. So I think that Marvel's got a great opportunity there. I'd love to see her on screen. I heard Riz Ahmed is actually interested in writing or working on the live action, so it's very exciting to have some diversity and inclusion represented in a good way, you know.
Well, no, and also with the MCU, you know, they have seen time and time again that, you know, the movies, if you break out into a character movie, you know, it works. And at this point, you know, the audience is really not full yet. And I think this does give them some, you know, impotence to go, hey, let's take a look at that. Because, you know, if you think, like, you know, Captain Marvel or, you know, Doctor Strange or Black Panther, where you have a lot of these where you can kind of go in different places, it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like people are full yet. And I agree, this is a great opportunity to take that route.
Yeah, I think they're, even from a financial perspective, you mentioned Black Panther. One fun image I have of Black Panther is the theater, packed theater of movie fans watching Black Panther leaving during the credits. That means that they're not Marvel fans because they know that there's still extra scenes after the credits.
Right.
So that showed that Black Panther drew a new crowd. It drew the black crowd into the theater, even though they weren't Marvel fans previously. So maybe Kamala Khan can have that same effect and put some new butts in chairs.
And also, you know, given the fact that with Star Wars, we are going into sort of, you know, once we get past Rise of Skywalker, we're kind of going into sort of a new territory. I think mm-hmm. as they explore some of these stories and they have, you know, instead of trying to make, you know, tight 2-hour movies, which they will, but you're seeing TV series and you're seeing the Cassian Andor series, you know, mm-hmm. you seem to have, you know, in Kenobi and The Mandalorian, you seem like there's a lot of opportunity there for not only for people to get work, but tell a lot of stories, but have a lot of time to introduce a lot of great characters. Yeah. That also has to be really exciting.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. We can have new characters, new settings, new formats, smaller stories. Oh, yeah, that's going to be something really exciting to see where they go.
The other thing I was wanting to ask is what does Order 416 have coming up, and is there any tie-in to the Rise of Skywalker as far as events or shoots?
Ooh, that's exciting. Definitely, definitely. Very exciting. So we're going to have a marathon group viewing at the Scotiabank. So we're not organizing that. We're just going to be attending it and inviting friends to join us. So we'll have that marathon night. It's a long, grueling thing to watch, you know, 20 hours of movies. So it's better to do with friends. You know, we'll be having snacks and naps. So we'll have a marathon meetup. A few small photo shoots. I'm definitely pushing my Rey cosplay at the moment. I have a little yoga challenge coming up. So last year or 2 years ago, it was The Last Jedi, and there was a yoga challenge called The Last Yogi. It was basically a series of like 12 poses, and I'll take pictures in each pose. So I haven't thought of the brand for this one, like the Rise of Yoga Walker or the Yoga of Skywalker. I don't know, maybe you can help me with that, the Yoga of Skywalker maybe.
I like it.
And and so I'm going to do yoga poses that tell a story. So, you know, if the body language is small and sheltered versus big and explosive, you know, use those different poses to tell a story of the character. So I'll try to do a little yoga sequence telling the story of Rey's journey so far, and then post those out and invite other people to join that, to post pictures of themselves doing those same yoga poses.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do people get in touch with Order 416?
Yes. So check us out on Instagram or Facebook. We're probably more Instagram, but Facebook as well. It's Order 416 on Facebook and Instagram. Just to holler at us. My name is Kareem. I'm one of three. Dan and Reno are active there too. We're always looking for new people to work with and collaborate and just share energy with. If you've got a cosplay or a story to tell, just do it. Let's hang out. Let's share energy. If you're in the Toronto area, we can even meet up, but we're not restricted to the Toronto area. You know, we can collaborate with anyone. So yeah, check us out on Order 416 and let's be hype.
Cool. Kareem, it's been an awesome pleasure to talk with you today. Best of luck with Order 416. And I don't think this is the last time we're going to talk. It's fun watching your journey, and I really look forward to seeing what you guys do.
Thank you so much for your time, Greg.
Once again, my thanks to Kareem for being on the program tonight. It was awesome to get a chance to talk with him. I got a lot out of tonight's conversation. I hope you did too. And a special shout out to the rest of the gang over at Order 416. If you have any feedback for tonight's episode, good, bad, or otherwise, many ways to do so. You can leave a comment on the Instagram post for this episode over at Rebel Base Card on Instagram, or you can even DM me direct there if you like. You can find me on Twitter at Rebel Base Card. You can email the program, greg@rebelbasecard.com, and also find me on Facebook at Rebel Base Card. You can also find the show notes for this episode and all episodes on the website, rebelbasecard.com. You can also find me in the Star Wars Card Trader app, spending credits like a demon. I am Corn-Fed Tech. If you are a sketch card artist or Star Wars artist or collector or cosplayer and want to talk about your work, craft, or passion, please drop me a line and maybe we can work something out. You can also please leave a comment or review on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you're using. That helps get the word out about the show. Otherwise, keep those cards out of the hands of the Empire, folks, and I'll talk to you soon. The music for this podcast is brought to you under a Creative Commons license from Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. This is Discipline off the album The Slip. This podcast is not affiliated in any way with Topps, Disney, or Star Wars, nor is it endorsed by Disney or Lucasfilm, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. All names and sounds, and any other related items, are properties of their respective trademarks and/or copyright holders here in the U.S. and abroad. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com.